Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Who cares when? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio. On the bright side
of the road. Yes, it's the bright side of the road with Who Cares Wins, your health and well-being show here on channelradio.co.uk this fine, slightly damp Monday afternoon. Of course, I am, if you've seen Twitter, you've seen that I'm in the studio with some wonderful gifts. Although I did pay her for them. I have paid her for her work. The wonderful, gorgeous Sue Parker. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Thank you for keeping me company in the studio. Oh,
it's a pleasure.
Because, of course, Jan is away, busy working. The poor girl, she's up in London, I think, today, working. So she'll probably be listening back to us later. So hello, Jan.
Hi, Jan.
We'll see you soon. And we have got a packed show of information for you this afternoon. So you'll probably be delighted to hear that I won't be speaking very much. Sue's already smiling because we have a great interview that we took a couple of months ago with a wonderful lady called Julie Dennis, and she worked with women who are mainly over 40, looking at weight loss and hormone balance and menopause. So interesting, lots of information to be coming your way over these internet airwaves. If you want to get hold of me, probably the best way today is to use Twitter at CaresWins, or post a comment on Facebook, or email me studio@whocareswinsradio.co.uk. Otherwise, we're going to sit back and we're going to listen to Julie. Now, I'm going to play it, hopefully, from my interviews here. I'm going to just put that one up there and that one up there. And if I press play, it should be Julie explaining a little bit about how her background and how she then moved into what she does with these wonderful women. So enjoy.
I was actually a PA for many years.
Oh.
I worked in a number of different industries. I worked in surveying. I worked in a consultancy. I did a stint in executive search.
Oh, wow.
And I also spent a number of years in the mining industry. So I was a PA for a long time at one of the leading global mining companies called Rio Tinto.
Yes, I remember. My Dartmoor days, I remember Rio Tinto, yes.
And eventually I took on a more technical role there. I became involved, worked with the safety team, did a lot of work around collecting and analysing and reporting data, worked with some amazing people, had the opportunity to travel to some fantastic places, to Australia and Singapore and you know, to North America.
Wow.
And then in 2013, I was made redundant. I wasn't massively upset about it. I saw it as an opportunity.
Right.
I took it as an opportunity to breathe and relax for a while.
Excellent.
Take a beat. Sat on the sofa for a couple of months watching box sets of 24. Had time to do. Everyone had been telling me what a great show it was, and I'd never got around to get around to watching it.
Never seen it. You've not seen it. Oh, it's a good series. Sorry,
worth it. It is, and you do have to watch them one after the other.
You do. So,
it's so addictive. And during the course of working my way through the box sets, I started to think a bit about what I wanted to do next. And I realised I didn't want to commute any longer. You know, I've been working in London for a good 20 years. I was fed up with doing that. And I thought, well, maybe I'll work locally. Realised that actually I didn't want to work for anybody else anymore. I wanted a bit of control over my life.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to set up my own business. But, you know, what to set up my own business doing.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, I was in my early 40s. It's about time I started thinking about my health a bit more. And that's what I focused on. And I decided to qualify as a personal trainer with a view to setting up a fitness company.
Yeah.
So I did my personal training qualifications, ironically, in London, so I did have to commute again for a while.
Can't escape it. It's in the blood. Yeah, that roar is still there.
I know. Be careful what you wish you wish for. And I found that actually what fascinated me most about the course I did was how what you eat and the lifestyle choices that we make impact our health. So much more, really, than the exercise. I mean, you know, the exercise is important, but it's what we put inside our bodies and how we manage stress and how we sleep that are really important when it comes to taking care of ourselves. So my business has evolved over the last couple of years, and what I do now is I help women over 40 and through menopause to lead healthier, happier lives by getting their hormones in balance. And that's through managing their lifestyles, managing their eating, by exercising in a particular type of way.
Wow. So you mentioned over 40. What if somebody's 38, 39, thinks it's happening early?
Oh, I know. You'd be surprised how many times I get asked that question. Yeah. In business, we're told to have a niche. And, you know, I did want to work with women my age. And I thought, over 40, that sounds good. But no, if you're 38 and you're struggling, yes, I can help you too.
Great. So your niche, as you said, that you're looking at women mainly over 40 who are already looking and experiencing the menopause, or just generally women over 40 and lifestyle?
Generally women over 40 who might be struggling with their weight, particularly their weight in particular areas of their body, maybe around their tummy, on the back of their arms, hips, bottom. They're all signs of hormone imbalance. And then obviously the menopause symptoms, which for most women tend to come along a little bit later.
Or in my case, so later. We're constantly comparing notes at the moment.
Oh, yeah, so you should. It's so good to talk.
Now, I know, Julie, when we spoke on the phone a while back, you were talking to me about one of the reasons that you got into this is because you yourself had noticed that you were doing all this wonderful exercise, all these activities, and you were still aware that you had, pardon the expression, but you had a bit of a belly, you said, a pot belly. Now, that's something that led you into more of the looking at hormones, didn't you? And I know that we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but that was one of the reasons, or key reasons, that took you down this route?
Where it started for me was really, I guess, my kind of early 30s, when I was still incredibly unhealthy. And, you know, I was a vegetarian, but I wasn't eating vegetables. they weren't on the menu. There was a lot of cheese and chips and chocolate. I drank quite a lot, and I still smoked. And, you know, I knew I wanted to change. You know, quite often we're leading unhealthy lifestyles. We know we want to change, but change is really hard. And it's really hard to know even where to begin sometimes, because there's so much information out there, and I didn't know what to do. So I thought about it for a couple of years. So essentially nothing changed. And then eventually what I did was I thought, okay, smoking, it's definitely bad for you, so that's what I'll do. And I gave up smoking. But what I then did was started eating chocolate hobnobs to replace my...
A natural progression.
A natural progression, you might say. That's right. And so obviously I put on weight, which wasn't the plan that I had.
Sure.
And I wasn't really doing much exercise at all at the time. And I didn't want to give up the chocolate hobnobs. So I thought, I know, I'll start to run. How difficult can it be? You know, all you need is a pair of trainers, a sports bra, and then, you know, a few more items of clothing, obviously. But
I'm getting worried about it now.
Yeah, everyone knows me around here. It's not an expensive sport. It's something I could do. And I started running, and I loved it, and I still run. You know, it's something that I really, really enjoy. It really helps me to unravel the spaghetti. And although I did lose weight, I began to compact, and I was running a lot. What didn't change was my tummy. I still had a pot belly. So when I crossed the finishing line of the London Marathon in 2009, you know, my pot belly wobbled over just a few milliseconds before they arrested me. There in the photo, I've got proof. And I thought, you know, that's just the way it is. I look at my mum, my sister, my nana, my auntie, you know, we've all got similar body shapes. You think, oh, it's genetics, there's nothing I can do about it, that's the way it is. And it wasn't until more recently, when I became much more interested in nutrition and hormones, that I realised that actually my pot belly wasn't down to genetics, although that might have had something to do with it. It was down to the way that I was eating, it was down to the way that I was managing my stress. It wasn't until I changed the way in which I exercised, or introduced other types of exercise, changed my eating, so I do still have the occasional chocolate hobnob, but not quite as many as I used to.
Yeah, so
I realised that it was the hormones that were influencing my body shape, and there was actually something that I could do about it. Yeah.
Brilliant. And it's good to hear a fellow runner. So we must compare notes, Julie. Perhaps after this interview, maybe we can meet up somehow and share some tips, because I can't claim to have done a marathon, only half marathon. So I'm still only on the babies ones.
But just add yours together, you've probably done several marathons.
Well, that's true. Yes, I suppose if I add them all up over the years.
Yeah, half marathon's a long way. That's fantastic.
But the other thing I picked up there, you were saying about obviously the running and the stress side of things, and how that can have a huge impact on our health and activities. But also you mentioned being
from my background in training and activity and fitness classes that I used to run many years ago now in my youth.
I saw that on your earlier.
I realised when I looked at when I qualified in 94 and suddenly calculated, I realised, my goodness, that was a while ago. But anyway, moving swiftly on, but one of the things there that I was quite passionate and still passionate about is that you said not only are you running, but you're doing other forms of exercise and activity. Mm. Do you get people that ask you, regarding potbelly, as that's our topic at the moment, do you get people that say to you, oh, it's just sit-ups, isn't it? I just have to do sit-ups?
Oh, yeah. People, I mean, that's the traditional response for the potbelly, and actually, you know, sit-ups isn't a form of exercise I'd recommend anyway, because they're quite difficult to do properly and you're most likely to do your back in. But you can do as many sit-ups as you like, but if you may well have a six-pack, but if that's protected by a layer of wine or chocolate hobnobs or whatever, it doesn't matter how many sit-ups you do or how fabulous your six-pack is.
Yeah.
If you're eating the wrong stuff or if you're living a very stressful lifestyle, those abs are going to be hidden.
Definitely. Hidden. We need to get them back out there. Well, that's amazing. That's just that transition. So it was very much, you know, from hearing there that you sort of transitioned this whole sort of change process. And I know that one of the pieces of music that we've got coming up is Changes by David Bowie.
Yeah.
Not showing my age. Most listeners now know that I'm an old...
You bought the first release.
Yes, I was there. But presumably there's a link here between sort of change coming out of the city, and that's one of the reasons perhaps you chose it.
Absolutely. You know, we all go through so many changes in our lives, whether it's a natural change, a hormonal change, a professional change, a lifestyle change. And, you know, change is hard. Mm. It took me a long time to change. And one of the reasons that I do the work that I do now is so that other people don't have to take as long as I did to make a change, which was probably about 10 years. So when I was thinking about that earlier and I was thinking about changes, I thought, yeah, David Bowie, Changes. You know, it's a song I used to spend a lot of time listening to with my girlfriends when I was still at school. So it's a track that I'm very fond of.
Waiting for, and my time was running wild in the dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change,
turn and face the strain.
Change,
don't wanna be a richer man.
Change,
turn and face the strain.
Change,
it's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me, but I can't trace. But never leave the stream of warm permanence, and so the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on and say try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Change,
turn and face the strain.
Change,
don't tell them to grow up out of it.
Change,
Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Who Cares Wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
Welcome back. It is Who Cares Wins Radio. We are in the studio, both myself and my standing co-presenter for Jan Mulligan, who's busy working, wonderful Sue Parker. Thank you, Sue, for joining me.
Absolute pleasure.
And doing Twitter and helping me out with all the technology. So fascinating lady, Julie Dennis. We interviewed her a couple of months ago. And I do need to just highlight to you the interview we did was over Skype. So fantastic technology, all works and we recorded. But you may find, especially in these next two slots, that sometimes there might be a bit of a as the airwaves interrupted, or we may have some feedback at some point during the interview. So again, that was because of Skype and there was nothing we could do about that. So here we now talk to Julie about hormones and her work with sort of menopause. We talked about briefly in the earlier part of that interview, but actually what are these common symptoms? So let's hear a little bit more from the wonderful Julie Dennis.
Yeah, Julie Dennis, it's me. I am my brand. That's how I present myself. Yeah,
fantastic. So Julie, coming back to, specifically, I mentioned earlier, menopause, the common symptoms of menopause for people, just to understand, is it menopause or is it just that they've had a few too many glasses of red wine, perhaps?
I mean, when you think about menopause, what you need to think about is that your health is like a jigsaw. You've got the lifestyle choices that you make, the food you eat, the exercise you choose to do, and, you know, any nutritional boosters that you're eating, and, you know, they all fit together like a jigsaw. And if any of those pieces move out of alignment, symptoms come to the surface. Mm. And one way of looking at the menopause is simply that it's a symptom of the fact that internally you're out of alignment.
Right.
Okay. And it's the natural, just like puberty, it's a natural phase in the female life cycle. Occurs around your late 40s to early 50s. I think 52 is the average age in the UK, actually.
Right. And I knew I was never going to fit to a normal mode. I never miss an average.
You sit somewhere on the continuum,
yeah.
Don't we? And actually, technically, menopause is only one day long. It's the day of your final period. But, of course, the time you're having it, you don't know that that's going on, do you? after your final period, then you're post-menopause, really. But the menopause is just that for that one day. And what's been happening is that it's been significant changes in hormone balance. So your levels of estrogen and progesterone have been dropping. Mm. From the age of about 35, really, they start to drop, but it speeds off. And progesterone drops a lot faster than estrogen. And estrogen and progesterone, they tend to work together. They're buddies, really. Progesterone is the kind of relaxed, chilled out person of the partnership. Estrogen's the more excitable partner. Which ones are you going to adopt?
I'm different.
And I am Angela the Eastern. Okay, yes. Oh dear.
Yeah. Rename the show.
Yeah, we'll have to rename the whole show now. Thank you, Julie.
You are going to go under a new brand. So under normal circumstances, progesterone, or Jan, keeps Angela or estrogen under control.
Never.
But as they dip off and progesterone dips off a lot quicker, estrogen runs riot, really. And that's when symptoms begin to appear. And those symptoms are irritability, hot flushes, which of course is the one that people talk about most commonly, headaches, weight gain, especially around the middle, drop in libido. You know, they're all your classic menopause symptoms,
yeah.
Really. is the long answer to that question.
And I know that you and I, and I know Jan and lots of other of our listeners, we're very keen on looking at maybe some more of the simple, natural solutions. Mm-hmm. What we can actually do without perhaps looking at visiting the doctor and doing any real hard and fast. I mean, we may need it. I'm not, and as we know on the show, we never say don't go to your doctors. Sometimes you do need to see medical experts.
Absolutely.
But actually, you're actually working with clients and looking at simple, natural solutions.
Natural solutions, that's right. And it's about allowing women to make an informed choice, knowing the natural solutions that are available, and then so that they can choose to use those if they want. Because, you know, when you think, you know, we said earlier that menopause is a natural phase like puberty. Well, you know, we don't medicate young women or young men, to get them through puberty.
No.
So why would the first option to get you through menopause be to medicate you? Why not start by looking at some natural solutions? And one of the first things you can do is to avoid what's known as endocrine disruptors. Endocrine is just a word for hormones. Sounds very fancy.
I know that.
So we're just, full marks. To avoid endocrine disruptors like xenoestrogens. Now, xenoestrogens are just, they're fake estrogens, really. They're chemical compounds that mimic our natural estrogen, and they're found in things like sunscreen, cosmetics, deodorants, plastics.
Oh.
And they're the root cause of many of our hormone imbalances and menopause symptoms such as hot flushes. You know, they make your body think that your estrogen levels are even higher than it thinks they are. So, you know, it becomes even more excitable and exacerbates the symptoms. And one of the most common of these is called bisphenol A, BPA. And that is used in the making, or it's used to line the inside of many plastic bottles, you know, the water bottles that we drink from.
Ah.
And then there's the plastic containers and packaging that we might eat our food off. So one of the, and of course, you know, the BPA will leach into the water or the food, and then when we consume that, it leaches into us and causes disruption in our systems. So one of the simplest things that you can do is stop drinking out of plastic water bottles.
That's actually something that I just had an aha moment, because when I was with Dr. Yehudi Gordon, he said to me in the interview at one point, he said, and we need to avoid plastics. He said, I'm sorry that you've had to have your water today in a plastic cup.
Uh-huh,
and I laughed and said, I knew a little bit about it, but obviously now it's like,
Well, there was a big newspaper media program a while back about not drinking from water in bottles left in cars.
Once they go above room temperature, that's when the BPA can leak into the water. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, so you think you're being really environmentally friendly and recycling your bottle over and over again and taking it to the gym, but of course that's the worst thing you could possibly do. So just stop using those. Get yourself a BPA-free bottle. You know, you can get them on Amazon, you can get them in the supermarket, the BPA-free packaging. You know, if you're heating food up in the microwave or the oven, make sure it's in a BPA-free container to stop that stuff getting into you. So that is one of the simplest, listeners, if you only take away one thing from the show today, stop drinking from plastic water bottles.
Yes.
Anyone can make that change.
Absolutely. And save the planet, surely.
We don't need those things, you know, we don't need those things.
Yeah.
So that's that one. What else is there? What you eat to help your
medical. Don't look at my diet.
Are you ready to cross them all off your list?
Yeah, I'm going to cross them off. Here we go. Chocolate hot knobs.
So what I advise my ladies to do is really essentially cut out the crap, and that is caffeine, refined sugar, alcohol, and processed foods.
Those actually, I'm not too bad then. I'm relaxing now.
I'm there already.
Yes. Not sure about the caffeine. Sorry, Julie. But I have reduced. It's probably only one cup a day.
And that's what you have to do as well. If you love caffeine, if you love wine, if you love sugar, it's the question of reducing it gradually and having it as a treat rather than something that's a staple part of your diet. That's the key to success, really. It's gradually cutting back on those sorts of things. And so what you do need to eat is loads of green vegetables. Just the green vegetables, when you go to the supermarket, pick up a vegetable of every single different colour. A rainbow of vegetables is what you want in your diet.
Yeah?
You want lots of proteins. By that I mean things like salmon, scrambled eggs, want lots of good fats. You know, I love avocado. My favourite breakfast is poached egg and avocado. You know, absolutely fabulous way to start the day if you're trying to help manage your menopause symptoms. And the other thing to look at, really, is to look at your nutritional boosters. Nutritional density of food these days is not what it once was. Mm. If you take the humble tomato, for example, nice beef tomato that you get in supermarkets, if you were to one of those supermarkets that you could buy, say, in the 1940s, the nutritional density of that tomato then, you'd need to eat 10 tomatoes now to get the same value.
Really?
And simply because of the way, you know, our farming methods have changed, our harvesting methods have changed over time. So supplementing can make a real difference too. But obviously, that's something you need to take advice on. Mm. And the last thing really is about the right type of exercise, which we touched on earlier.
Yeah.
Avoid the kind of steady state cardio, the running for 30 minutes at the same pace, swimming up and down all at the same pace. What you want to do is get a bit of intensity into your exercise routine. So if you love swimming, don't stop, but just swim one length really fast, relax a bit more on the next one, and then swim really fast and relax a bit on the next one. With your running, you know, I'm not going to stop running because I love it. But what I will do is I'll do a speedy bit of running and then take a break. Purely for medicinal purposes, obviously.
Of course.
As well as that, you want to include some restorative exercise, you know, yoga, tai chi, meditation, or just some simple breathing exercises can really help to relax and de-stress you and to manage your menopause symptoms too.
Now, one of the other things we briefly highlighted when we spoke earlier, you actually, when you're working with clients, you also have a report that's actually free.
Yes, I do. Yeah, if you go to juliedennis.net/WhoCaresWins, there's a report I've put together on natural solutions to managing menopause symptoms, and it's about, you know, it's how to get your body working with you rather than against you. So that's juliedennis.net/WhoCaresWins.
And presumably they can fill it in and then follow up with you, or would you follow up with them because of that, or is it completely independent, they just download it and do what they wish?
They can download the report, and then there's information on there on how they can follow up with me if they wish to for an individual consultation, complimentary consultation to give them some more immediate steps that they might be able to put in place, and then to find out if we would be a good fit to work together.
So, Julie, how do you actually work with your client?
I work with my clients online in the way that we're communicating now. That way I can reach a lot more people. Mm. How it usually starts is that someone will read one of my reports, we'll have a complimentary consultation, we'll be a good fit, and we'll agree to work together. And my programs have three stages, really, that we tend to go through. You know, I like to think that I sprinkle a little bit of magic and take all that confusing and inconsistent advice out there and, you know, deliver it in delicious bite-sized chunks, as I said before. So, you know, my exciting background in data analysis really has come to good use, because I'm pretty good at explaining complex problems in very simple ways. So the first stage is always, before you start doing anything else, you need to look at what is going on now. You know, whether it's a weight that's upsetting someone, or a weight on a particular part of their body, or whether it's menopause symptoms. And you always need to start by cleanse and repair, really. And the focus is on cleaning the liver and reducing toxicity in the system by introducing a number of fairly easy to follow solutions to create some immediate relief from your symptoms, whatever they may be. And, you know, that a lot of that's around what we talked about already. It's about cleaning up your diet. It's around reducing caffeine, avoiding alcohol, avoiding processed foods, avoiding refined sugars, and working out a plan and a rate at which to reduce those items that suits the client, because it's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it starts. You know, the focus is on enabling the liver to do its job, because your liver is your main detoxifying organ.
Yeah.
And what it's going to do is it helps get those xenoestrogens out of your system. So if it's not working as well as it should be, it's always going to be very difficult for you to lose weight and extremely difficult for you to manage your symptoms. So that's how it starts, with a personalised plan and with online Skype coaching from me. You know, regular coaching and accountability sessions, they are really. Yeah. So, I'm talking to Julie.
Yeah.
And it's
like a check-in system, isn't it? So it's a bit like Weight Watchers or Slimming World, all those clubs that you are accountable, because almost it gives you that bit of urge that, oh, I've got to go and see someone, or I've got to weigh in front of people, then it gives you that, perhaps, motivation that you need. If you were just left to your own devices, I probably wouldn't do it.
It's really hard to do this stuff alone. It's really hard, and that's why, you know, it took me so long, because I tried to do it by myself, whereas I know now that it's much better to invest in yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, how can you take care of anyone else around you, whether that's your family, your children, or your business?
Would you look to see somebody for a certain number of online sessions, or is it...
The program starts... It's 4 to 6 months, really, depending on the progress of the client, my programs last fall. So it starts off with cleanse and repair. We're looking at creating internal balance, so looking a lot more closely at what's being eaten, introducing the right type of exercise for the problem that the client's trying to solve, looking at improving sleep patterns, increasing energy, avoiding that, you know, dreaded mid-afternoon slump. you know, been there in the toilet, head up against the system.
Yeah. Just really trying to stay awake. A quick cat nap, no one will notice.
Yeah, power nap.
Yeah.
And then finally, it's about restore and build, and that's the platform for achieving optimum health, which is where we all want to be for a long and good and happy life. And there's a greater focus on exercise, the right type of exercise, alongside a structured eating plan tailored to the needs of my client. Your eating's a lot cleaner. Your liver is healthier. Your systems are nourished through the right additional nutrition boosters, and you start to regain your vitality and you start to love life again. And those three stages are all underpinned by some systems and some gorgeous goals and some tools to help you stay on track, because it's very easy to be pulled back into old habits, whether it's red wine, chocolate, hobnobs, mashed potato, you know, whatever your thing is. Everybody's got something, right? What's yours?
Oh, yes. Chocolate bunnies at the moment. Super Easter. To my little, you know those little lovely gold-wrapped bunny rabbits?
Okay.
Only the tiny ones, Jan. Okay. Don't panic. Not the big ones.
But five. Makes big ones.
You promised not to tell. She promised, Julie. She said she wouldn't tell. Now, coming back to that point, you said about it's easier to work with someone and that gives them the support and the accountability. What about if you have a client, and there may be listeners out there, where it's not so easy for them to actually give up the alcohol, maybe their social environment, their partners, their housemates, for example, sort of their lifestyle is very, they're coming away from maybe your Skype session and really motivated, yes, I'm going to stop drinking caffeine, I'm going to start exercising, but then their housemates and the environment they're in, and perhaps their work and their commute to London, for example, we mentioned, it all seems to be big barriers to them. Is there a tip to something that you could share to our listeners if they're suddenly thinking, well, yeah, I know I should, but I know I can't?
Yeah, and that's all around fear, really. It's fear of change. It's fear of what your friends or your work colleagues will think about you if you suddenly, I didn't want to be part of the smoking gang, for example, any longer 10 years ago. And I was scared of what they think about me, and I was also scared about how I'd feel about, you know, not being part of that clique anymore. And I think that's what a lot of that comes from. People are fearful of the change and fearful of how hard it's going to be, fearful that they will make those changes and actually it might not work, you know, especially if you've tried to make a change in the past and it hasn't worked. So the key really is to be prepared for situations, for not to allow yourself to be taken by surprise. So for example, if you've got a work dinner with colleagues, if you know where you're going, go online, check out the menu before you get there and see what's on there and make your choice ahead of time. So you're not in the restaurant under pressure and immediately choosing the worst thing on the menu or reverting to old habits. You know, yeah. I'll have, you know, whatever. If you've chosen at home in a controlled environment, you're fine in the restaurant. You can make the healthier choice. The other thing I would say was, you know, don't be afraid to go off menu. If the food's served with something that you don't particularly want to eat because of the way you're trying to live at the moment, just ask them not to put on that on your plate. Mm. Most restaurants are very happy to do that. And tell your friends what you're trying to do and explain to them why. And you'll find that they'll be incredibly supportive, I'm sure.
Yes. And the other question I've had, you mentioned about cleansing the body and cleansing the liver and so thinking about food and nutrition. And obviously then the second part is the plan and making sure that they adopt a slightly different eating habit, for example, and what foods they're eating and perhaps their shopping list will change.
Mm.
Do you provide any
menus or food, you know.
Absolutely, yep. Show-stopping recipes, I like to call them. shopping lists, checklist templates, all that kind of done-for-you stuff to make life easier. You know what it's like when you go to the supermarket when you haven't got a list. You don't come back with anything you can make a meal off unless, you know, your dinner that night is going to be a packet of Thai chili sensations and a bottle of milk. You know,
she's been peeking in my, Emily's been peeking in my back door to see.
Following you.
Whereabouts are you based, Julie? You're not near Thanet at all, then? Not on the Margate coast, then? That's
no,
right.
No,
I don't have to look over my shoulder when I'm in the supermarket.
Yeah, but now I produce lots of recipes, and you know, the things that my clients eat, just so that you know that it's not about not eating very much, it is about being fulfilled. Thai chicken curry soup, you know, a quinoa and prawn salad, chili con carne, shepherd's pie, but instead of having potato mash on top, have celeriac mash or parsnip mash. You know, you just need to mess around with traditional menus to create a healthier choice.
Yum, yum.
Mm-hmm.
Although I must admit, my favourite is carrot and swede mash.
Oh, gosh, that's delicious.
Yum. Delicious. And it's, as you say, it's when you realise it actually is so easy. Well, I think it's time for a little break now, so let's move on to your second choice of music, which is very dear to my heart as well. We have played it on previous shows, but I've any excuse to play it again. By Morecambe and Wise is Bring Me Sunshine. I don't know if there's any related story to it.
This song makes me happy. It makes me think of my grandpa, actually, who used to sing this song and whistle it quite a lot and used to, you know, laugh so much at Morecambe and Wise. And making women happy is also at the heart of what I do, so I just thought it was a good fit, and I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
Well, let's all sit back, because there's nothing wrong with laughing, is there, Jan?
Can we do the dance with it as well?
We can do the dance. Nobody will see us.
Doesn't matter. Best way to dance. Dance as if nobody's looking.
That's right.
I always do that.
Bring me sunshine in your smile, bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years, never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years, never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.
Oh, I do love that song. Sue and I in the studio, we're doing the news. Sue's doing it with her glasses. Oh, I just love Morecambe and Wise. So a good choice there. Julie Dennis is a lady we interviewed over Skype. So we've been playing the recordings for you today. And we have one more part where Julie now explores with us a little bit more detail about hormones and the link with menopause.
First of all, hormones, they are quite simply, they're your body's chemical messengers. They control everything from your appetite to your weight to your the health of your skin, your metabolism, your behaviours, your libido, your mood, your vitality, you know, right down to how you feel at any given moment of the day. And your hormones are impacted by your food choices, by the environment, as we touched on earlier, by stress, by genetics, and the chemicals in your clothes and packaging, and even the way in which you exercise. When we think about hormones normally, we think about the time of the month, we think about menstruation, or we think about menopause. We think about hormones being associated with grumpiness, erratic behaviour, bitchiness, itchiness, you know, scratchiness, everything that's...
No, I'm never irritable. Never, Jan, am I?
Doesn't sound familiar,
does it? I don't know the words.
No comment. I think that's a no comment there. Okay. Yes. Moving on.
Moving on swiftly. So we think about hormones being associated with those two states, really. But hormone balance or imbalance affects women of all ages, whatever the time of the month and whatever stage of life you're in. And they have a huge impact on both your weight and on your body shape. So one of the key signs that your hormones could be out of balance is that you are struggling to lose weight from certain parts of your body. Maybe the back of your arms, you know, the old bingo arms, that bingo wings that people start to worry about at this time of year as the cardies are coming off.
or not coming off. Case may be, yes.
Women across the country sitting through meetings, sweating away in their jackets because they're embarrassed by their upper arms, you know. So your upper arms, your tummy, your hips, your bottom. You know, if you find that when you try to lose weight, the weight comes off, but it's not coming off from those particular areas, that's a good sign that your hormones have gone out of whack somehow, either by the way you eat or the way you've exercised or as a result of certain stresses in your life. You might find that you have difficulty sleeping. You know, maybe you can't get to sleep at night, or maybe you do go to sleep and then you're waking up continually during the night.
Yeah.
That's another sign that something could be amiss. Or your energy levels are up or down. You know, we touched on the mid-afternoon energy slump earlier as well. That's another key indicator that your hormones are not behaving and sending the right messages as they should be. And you might find that your moods are a little more erratic than they used to be. And you, as they look meaningfully at each other.
Do you like that? We can't get away with it. On the radio, we can, but Julie can see us. We can see the look that Jan's giving me.
And it will double like that. And, you know, your ability to concentrate or focus or problem solve like you used to is not as it once was. But the good news is, of course, that the way in which you eat and the way in which you exercise and can have a real impact on your hormones, on your hormone balance, and you can transform your body from a fat storing machine into a fat burning one, which is what we all want.
So really, you're dispelling a myth that has been shouted about for many, many years, when people used to say in the gym that there's no way you can actually lose weight from a particular part. You're going to lose weight, you lose weight all over. Are we saying that we can be specific in the weight loss, or is it actually no, we're looking at still totality of weight loss, but including it coming off your tummy, coming off your arms?
Yeah, it's overall weight loss, but it's just those stubborn areas, those areas that you've always had problems in the past with, like I did with my tummy. The weight will come off there, or your shape will change. We all tend to obsess a little bit about the scales and pounds and how much we weigh. You know, it's the way we were brought up. It's very difficult to change that way of thinking, but actually it's more about body shape with hormones. So yes, you will lose weight, but what you'll notice more is that your body shape will change. So your pot belly will recede, you know, your bingo wings will be no more. Your hips and your bottom won't look so out of proportion to the rest of you as maybe they have done in the past.
So
and
where do I sign up, Julie? Where's the form? She's definitely she's got me signed. That definitely ticks all the boxes. Yes, please. Yes, please. And yes, please.
Well, I mean, for those of you who are particularly upset or particularly worrying about your arms as the weather's getting warmer, my latest blog actually was on Blast Away Those Bingo Wings. So if you go to juliedennis.net and have a look at my blog page, there's a couple of blogs there about targeting your bingo wings through the way that you eat and the way that you exercise. But one of the key things you can do, I mean, bingo wings, quite often that's as a result of your insulin levels being out of whack. And your insulin levels, you have problems with your insulin levels when you have too many white starchy carbohydrates in your diet. And what I mean by that is things like white rice, white pasta, white bread, even potatoes. You know, these types of food trigger a surge in your insulin levels, quickly followed by a dip, and you're on this kind of sugar roller coaster. Yeah. And one of the results of that is that, that your body will deposit fat in areas such as the old bingo wings underneath your upper arms there. So avoid all that white stuff. As a friend of mine says, if it's white, it's not all right, is a quite easy way to quite easy way to remember it. You know, just swap to wholemeal. It's quite simple. It's very tasty too. Or use something like quinoa is a great substitute for white rice too.
I think I've had that. I now know what the name is. Is that spelled with a Q?
That's it, yeah. You say it completely differently from the way it's spelled. Q-I-N-O-A.
Well, I've now renamed my bingo wings. I've now called them pasta wings then. That's what they relate to. They're my pasta wings. And I will now be working on my pasta. Although I do try to have the whole wheat variety of pasta. And you're right. Initially you think, oh, it's not going to be the same. But actually once
get used to it.
Everything else that you're having.
You know, I couldn't, at one time I couldn't imagine life without cigarettes. Now I can't imagine life with cigarettes. You change and you enjoy your new lifestyle because you feel so much better.
That's right.
So that's with the old bingo wings. What else is there? So the pot belly, which is what we talked about for me, that is usually as a result of high cortisol levels. Cortisol is one of your main stress hormones.
Yeah.
And that can be triggered by things like coffee. You know, caffeine stimulates deep breath, caffeine, alcohol, both trigger a cortisol response. So if you're struggling with the old muffin top, I would recommend that you cut back on your caffeine and that you introduce some high-intensity exercise into
your... Can we just clarify for our listeners? Can we just clarify here? Muffin top, because I obviously live in a very dark cave, and someone was talking about that the other day, and I kept looking very strangely, and she said, what? I said, muffin top. What on earth is a muffin top? So just for our listeners who may live in the same cave as I do, can we explain this term?
If your tummy is outside your trousers rather than inside it, that's the old muffin top. So it's around your waist, really. It's particularly at the front.
Really nice muffin from the shop. It's got
and it
spills
over the edge of the case.
And then there's a neat bit that goes into the case.
Oh, so you're saying they look like cake now?
I'm not saying it. You're saying it. You're wanting it described.
Right.
It used to be a spare tyre, and then it got bigger.
Yes, and it's bursting out of the jeans. Okay, I'm with you now. Right, so yes, linked with cortisol and obviously the stress. And yes, you're right. I know that if we do have a very stressful environment or a very stressful job, the last thing we really need to be looking at or the first thing we need to look at is how much caffeine, because obviously it's not going to help, is it, Julie?
It doesn't help, no. So, you know, if you love coffee, just try to have it before midday, okay? You know, try to keep it to the early part of the day so it doesn't interrupt your sleep patterns later. If you love a hot drink after dinner, you know, start experimenting with herbal infusions and peppermint teas. Eventually you'll find one that you like, I promise you.
Yay.
I did. and peppermint tea actually is really good for helping you deal with sugary cravings. And in fact, for some people, just the sniff of peppermint tea will knock the head on any sugary cravings that they might have. So that's another little tip for you there.
I'm going to load up on the peppermint tea tonight. Thank you.
So what we've done, bingo wings, we've done the old muffin top. What else is there? Saddlebags. Called around the, you know, around your thighs, around your bottom. If that's somewhere that you happen to carry your weight, quite often that's a sign of estrogen dominance or Angela dominance. High estrogen levels.
I wouldn't recommend that on anyone. Angela dominance. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Estrogen.
I'm sorry, Julie, if anyone rings you with that now.
Come sort out my Angela for me.
The euphemism, that's right. So if that's a problem for you, you know, watch out for those xenoestrogens again, you know, chuck away those plastic bottles, have a look at, you know, consider you swapping to natural cosmetics and sunscreens and things like that. And actually, xenoestrogens, interestingly, are also thought to be the reason behind moobs, you know? You heard that phrase, the moobs on our men?
Yes.
That's quite a modern phenomena, and that is as a result of a lot of the xenoestrogens that the guys are exposed to too.
Oh.
And that's where it has an impact on them, on their chest, whereas for women it tends to be around bottom and hips.
Fascinating, because that is something I did want to throw in to the mix, that I know your work is predominantly with women, yet hormones and presumably hormone imbalance does affect men and boys too.
Yeah, guys have hormones too. Who'd have thought it, hey? And I, in fact, you know, again, you said, do I work with women under 40? Yes, I do occasionally. I also have a couple of guys on my books. Because, yes, a lot of the stuff that we've spoken about applies to men too. And if men want to live healthy and happy lives, they need to make the same eating choices and lifestyle choices that I ask my women clients to too. So, yeah, very much the same principles for men also.
Fabulous, fabulous. Well, one of the important aspects before we run out of time, Julie, as we always do on our show, because we always have such interesting guests and there's so much information I want to quiz them on, but actually we need to make sure our listeners know how to contact you. What's the best way? We've mentioned your website. If we could just give another shout out for that.
Yep, so the website is www.juliedennis.net, and there's a whole stash of information on there. I blog very regularly. You can find out a lot of different stuff. You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter name is at SouthviewFit. That's SouthviewFit. Fit. You can find me on LinkedIn, obviously, under Julie Dennis, and you'll be able to contact me directly by my website as well, if you would like to have a complimentary consultation.
Wonderful.
And you mentioned that you generally it's over the internet, over Skype and such, but if somebody did want a face-to-face,
if someone wants to face-to-face and they're in my geographical area, then yes, I'm quite happy to sit down and talk to some people face-to-face, because the work that I do, it's very relationship-driven, obviously, so it's important that, we get on.
Sure.
Whereabouts in the world are you?
I am in North Hertfordshire, in a town called Letchworth Garden City.
Excellent. Thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Julie, to just dive in a little bit of your world and what you get up to. You have, I'm sure, the interaction we've had, I'm sure that lots of listeners will feel the same as I do, that there's a real warmth there and a real passion that you just tell in how you want to obviously, you know, enable your clients and empower them almost to actually live sort of even better lives than they've got now. But it's great, the sense of humour aspect, I think, is also quite key, because I think sometimes you can come across, as you mentioned, with fear, and people who are looking at exercise, they're looking at their body shape, they're looking at what they're eating, you know, it's all quite personal stuff, and I think having that bit of humour ticks another box of mine anyway. Thank you, Julie.
Good.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh,
Jan, anything before we disappear?
No, I have my homework now.
Yes. Yeah.
I will be in touch with any questions. Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Julie. Do take care. Every success. And hopefully we'll talk again.
Absolutely. Goodbye now.
What a wonderful lady, full of just oodles amounts of information about hormones. I thought that interesting aspect about boobs, you know, the men's boobs, and linked with the xenoestrogens and the xeno hormones, and links with those bottles of plastic, you know, water bottles. So get your proper bottles, get your BPA bottles out there. Now, before we disappear, because as I said to you, there was oodles amounts of information there, so we are running tight on time today to get everything included. So I've had some marvellous retweets going on. So if you follow us on Twitter, you'll see all sorts of people retweeting, which is fabulous. Thank you very much. Also, just to point out, on contact details with Julie Dennis, you heard her website is juliedennis.net. She is on Twitter, but she's changed her handle, so it's actually an easier one now. It's Julie_A_Dennis. And again, if you follow us on Twitter at CaresWins, you'll see that we've been mentioning Julie in our Twitter in our tweets, so you'll see her handle is there. And again, she's on LinkedIn as well. We'll post everything on Facebook this afternoon, and also it will be on our website, whocareswinsradio.co.uk. Another event I've been highlighted to is the CIPD. You may recall I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. The CIPD, my branch, the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, they have a event. It's a free one, FREE, no money needed, apart from your own travel costs. It's called From Strive to Thrive, and it's with my lovely friend Louise Cox-Chester, who runs Mindfulness at Work, who I'm one of their trainers. And it's on Tuesday, the 29th of September at 6 p.m. over at Witherden's Hall in Wingham in Kent, which is a beautiful venue. So if you get a chance to get over there, I really do encourage you to. It, just stepping into the venue, you feel relaxed and calm. And she's going to talk about from striving to thriving and linking that with mindfulness and the work that Mindfulness at Work do. So I will post the Eventbrite link on our Facebook page, and also you can find all the other Kent events on the cipd.co.uk /branch/Kent/events. Now, something else, Sue, very quickly. I know that you do a lot of work alongside Wendy Watson, who we had quite a couple of years back now. We need to get her back on the show. But Wendy, she's doing something new with her reflexology, isn't she?
Yeah, she's doing hot stone reflexology, which is amazing. I have experienced it, and it is amazing.
I'm just going to move my BPA water bottle.
Okay.
Yes. I can see you.
Hello. And also she's doing a thing with mother and daughter, or it could be two good friends, and she does like a pamper 2 hours where, or nearly 2 hours where you can have reflexology and your friends can relax, have a meditation, and then you swap over or have a chat or whatever, but you're having a nice pamper time.
It's
nice with mother and daughter, their time together, and they go for lunch.
Ooh, fantastic. That sounds good. Maybe I'll just pretend I can be your sister and go look at it. So yeah, that's Wendy Watson, and we'll post again. She's on Facebook, so I'll post her details and share them on Who Cares Wins Facebook page, so you can then see where she's based and whether you can get along to her, or maybe just have a day out and then utilize booking that as well. Fantastic. Thank you, Sue, for joining me in the studio, keeping me company.
No problem.
And helping out with Twitter. Fantastic job there. You can come again. Jan, I shall hopefully, fingers crossed, see you next week, and hope you've had a great day working. Before we disappear, just a few reminders coming up on Channel Radio. Don't forget, we have some great shows on Channel Radio. So today, it's not just ending here. We have at 2 o'clock Richard Hubbard, the music, wonderful music show, pre-recorded one. 6 p.m. is the big band show, which I just adore. At 7 o'clock is Wonderful Conrad with the Grown Folks Groove Show. And then at 9 o'clock, we've got Revolutions with Martin. So some great stuff coming up. And of course, we are repeated on Thursday at both 2 a.m. in the morning and 12 noon. And next week's guest we have in the studio is a lovely guy called Andy Smith, and he's coming along from NewMed. And he's going to talk to us about PEMF, and it stands for Pulsed Electromagnetic Field. And it's all about pain management, so very dear to my heart. And it's about pain management, how it can help both people recover from injury and disease faster. So we're going to hear all about that and what they're doing. And great stuff coming up. We've got one last track to play, and we're going to play out with this, which was chosen by Julie. And again, big thanks to Julie Dennis if she's listening in. Apologies if there was a bit of feedback with the Skype recording, but I think otherwise you could hear the main part, which was Julie. Jan and I just having hysterics in the background. But it was a great interview with Julie, and I'm going to see her talk about my menopause. But she did choose one final song, which, of course, is very appropriate. It's called Feeling Good by the band Muse. So enjoy and have a great week. Thanks, Sue. Take care, everyone.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom in the trees, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new. I'm feeling good.